Hello, everyone. How are you? How am I? Who am I? What? You are listening to KDRT LP 95.7 in Davis, California, a low-power, high-impact radio station. I love the way they say that. Isn't that a great phrase? Low-power, high-impact. My name is Lois Richter, and the program is called That's Life. And sometimes I play music, and sometimes I have guests. And last week, I read from a science fiction story. It was very nice. And today, I have several people joining me who are friends of mine, and we are going to be talking about friendship. So let me get the mics on. So this mic here is for Autumn and Marilee, and you'll have to just swing it back and forth. And this mic over here is for Leanne, and you'll want to have the mic about that far away from your mouth when you talk. So bring that mic up closer to you, Leanne. Yeah, there you go. Tell me your name.
Leanne.
Leanne who?
Friedman.
Leanne Friedman. I need to get closer.
Closer?
Yeah, bring it closer to you. You want to be comfortable. Yeah, perfect. Hello, microphone.
Hello, microphone.
And then over here, can you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Marilee.
Marilee.
UCBO.
All right. And?
Hi, I'm Autumn Labbe-Renew.
Okay, now we're going to have a problem because you've got a soft voice and you've got a louder voice. So
I will talk more softly.
Either that or make sure you get close. You get a little closer to the mic and that'll take care of it. Usually we have enough mics for all of the guests and everybody has their own mic and I have this little control panel on it. I just zip things around and make it perfect. And today we're sharing. So for those of you who haven't heard the show very much, let me tell you a little bit about the radio station. KDRT is part of Davis Media Access. It's a community radio station, and the programs that are produced locally are all produced by volunteers. And so sometimes we are not as technologically expert as some of the professional radio stations. So when you hear directions being given to people on air, it's just because that's how we do it. So don't worry about it. So today I asked some folks to come in because it's been a long time since we've done this, but we have in the past. I had some television shows, and we did one where we talked about what friendship was like, and it was a wonderful, wonderful show. And so I thought, well, let's do something like that again. So when I talked to you, Leanne, what did I tell you we wanted to talk about? I don't remember. Do you remember?
Friendship.
Just general.
Just general. I was wondering if you had specific questions for us to think about, but...
And I said, no, we'll wing it.
And so here we are.
Winging it, yeah. Okay. So let's see. Who have I known the longest? I guess that would be Leanne. When did we meet? Do you remember? 70, was it?
Well,
72?
It was...
73.
Early 70s because, yeah. I mean, there's the whole story.
Well, we don't want to go into the whole story. But suffice it to say...
I'd say, early, 70, 71,
yeah,
around.
Yeah, and then we were roommates 72. For a little while, and then she moved off other places, and da-da-da. So ours is what I would call a longtime friendship.
Yes.
But we're not best buds. I mean, I don't talk to you every day or every week or anything. So how would you characterize our friendship? Is that a logical way to start our show?
Yeah. Well, it's like when we run into each other at Whole Earth Festival. It's like, oh, there's Lois. Yay.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of fun because we don't see each other often. We're not doing the same things. But at Whole Earth Festival, we're very likely to see each other.
Right.
And it's always fun.
And sometimes I'll go by the senior center and you'll be finishing up your hula dancing class or you'll be going and performing someplace and Jim and I will come and make sure that we go and see and watch you. And
speaking of which, Senior Center Ice Cream Social is coming up in August.
Okay. Every August, the Senior Center has an ice cream social. And if you want to know the date, go to the Senior Center website for this year and find it. And Leanne frequently is participating because there's a hula class that their students perform and entertain and have a good time.
I'm missing class right now to be here.
Yes, because
I still have
Thursdays.
Time to learn the dances for August.
Good. Okay, so I would say that we share a lot of history, we've known a lot about each other, but we're not currently doing the same stuff at the same time, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. All right. So then the next person that I've known the next long would be Merrily. And you're going to pass that microphone over to Merrily. Merrily Eusebio, and how did we meet?
Probably through the meeting, the Quaker meeting, mm-hmm. Davis Rins meeting. You lived on L Street, I think.
No, off Lehigh, on Buckeye.
When I first met you? No, when I first met you, you lived with Sharon and Larry and Ruth.
Oh, okay. Yes, Poline Road.
Poline Road, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, and those were some Quaker folks that I was, I had the garage and they had the house. Yeah. And that would have been 80, 79, 77, something like that.
It couldn't have been before 77 because that's when I moved to Davis.
Right, right. Because I knew Larry and Tom through the fire crew.
Right.
And we were fighting forest fires together at that time. And that would have been 76 through 70, 75 through 79, that era. So, yeah, so that was probably, you were new to town, and I was new to Quaker Meeting.
Right.
And so we both thought the others were long-time, old-time people, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, we kind of shared rides to meeting, and mm-hmm. we were, I think just as you've mentioned it now, kind of helping the newbies out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Being the newbies.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But we didn't actually get to be really close buddies right off because right. there's a lot of people in meeting and you had a lot of stuff going on with your family and everything. Right. Well, how did that happen? Was there a sudden change or just we sort of drifted into things?
I would say that it came together slowly and mm-hmm. maybe drifting is the right word. I don't remember thinking, I'm going to make an appointment with Lois, but it could have happened,
yeah.
And it could be the reverse.
I think what happened is that at some point we were serving together on various committees for the Quaker meeting.
I bet that's true.
And then at one point, I think you were the clerk and I was recording clerk, or I was the newsletter mm-hmm. editor or something like that. And so we were working together on
right.
projects.
Right.
And I was very impressed with your thoughtful consideration of things. And Merrily is one of those people who she reads things, she thinks about things, she talks about things. She's, you know, she studies philosophy and then she goes out and she cooks for her kids and she, you know, does mom stuff and grandmom stuff now. So, but I think mostly it was it was a comfortable chat and a way to help each other work out problems for
me. I think I have an idea now. I think that we like to do projects together.
Oh, yeah.
And it made it more fun. And,
yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right that we did it through the meeting. May I say one other thing?
Everything.
You are one of only two people in the meeting who has said something to me that would help me grow and in calling me out, as it were.
Oh.
And in a gentle way so that I could take it and I learned from you. And so that is a mark of a friendship.
Oh.
And I value that a lot.
Okay. I guess. I think now, I'd say in the past 5 years or so, we have both recognized how valuable our friendship is. And so we try to make play dates with each other and take turns. You know, this time we'll come over to Merrily's house and we'll sort through the sewing closet. And this time we'll come over to Lois's house and we'll we'll look at the clothes and see what can we can get rid of, or we'll repot the African violets, or we'll whatever, or maybe we'll just get together and have lunch and chit chat. But we aren't as much chit chat as we are let's get our mm-hmm. hands busy and do something that's mm-hmm. good for one or the other of us. Yeah. And so I'd say that we're ongoing and closer friends.
Yeah.
What about now? The third person here is Autumn.
Hey, Lois.
Hello, Autumn.
I know exactly when we met.
When did we meet?
It was when I started working here, which was 1996.
Yeah.
And you were doing a TV show at the time.
I was. And I don't remember which one it was, but I've done several series.
I don't remember which one it was either, but you were here and you were frequently here. Mm-hmm. And so I got to know you. I would say we knew each other for a long time before we actually became friends.
Well, I recognized you, mm-hmm. but I don't think I'd ever sat down and chatted.
Yeah. I went into having babies, and my years have been filled with that.
And then there have been a couple of times when somebody couldn't show up, and you substituting on the TV show. Mm-hmm. But in that situation, that wasn't really a sit down and get to know each other kind of situation. That was a project, and the director was telling people what to do, we were all focused on our stuff, it wasn't until much later that we actually started chatting.
I'd say things really shifted for us in the last, I'm going to say, maybe 7 to 8 years.
Yeah.
And what brought us together originally were artist trading cards.
That's right, 2005, I know.
Because I don't remember the exact sequence of events, mm-hmm. but I know that I was doing them, and I wrote an article about them.
There was
an
article in the Enterprise. I got so enthused about it that I said, let's start a club.
Right.
And I started this group, and you came, and a bunch of other people came.
And we did that for quite a while.
Yeah,
and we did the whole artist trading card or ATC things for a while. But then mm-hmm. I think the glue for us were the years that we were both caretaking our respective mothers.
Yeah.
And we both had similar experiences, and it was... for me, it was really kind of balm to be able to talk to someone who truly understood. And I think it was for you, too. And I felt
she let me vent.
Yeah, and I felt like, now we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think mm-hmm. things shifted for us at that point. Yeah.
The sequence was my dad passed away up in Oregon, and then 2 years later, my mom had lost much of her vision. And so then for 5 years, I was dealing with mom stuff.
Right.
And that's when you were such a good listener and were so sympathetic isn't the right word, but empathetic.
Yay.
And then after my mom passed, and then your dad, and then your mom, and all of that stuff. And then I got to be the listener.
Yeah.
And
it was really helpful.
Yeah.
Today I would describe that our friendship is really rooted in creativity. We get excited about something, and you'll bring in things. You want to see what I did?
Yeah.
You'll share with me, and I'll tell you what I'm doing. And we occasionally get together in the real world outside of K-Dirt. Mm-hmm.
And I frequently have on my show, too.
Yes.
So we've learned a lot about each other over the years.
We've chatted about a lot of things over the years.
Yeah.
And in all those years, so I've just wrapped a cycle. My twins graduated high school last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've known me from the time before I was a mother
mm-hmm.
all the way through their growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Mm-hmm. And you're still Autumn.
I'm still Autumn, and I'm getting an art room.
Wonderful. Hey, can I come over and help?
I know. You're the first person.
Well, my friend Elizabeth, who would be here, except she doesn't live in Davis anymore, she and I, when we were both single and we both had new businesses. Well, hers was newer than mine. And so we would, twice a month on a Saturday morning, we would alternate. And one time we'd go over to her office and I'd be the pair of hands and she'd tell me what to do. And we would just focus on filing and paperwork and office stuff. And then 2 weeks later, she'd come over to mine and we'd do that. And it was great. And it was such a joy.
I'm going to have a lot of fabric and buttons and paper that need sorting.
Well, I know, but what I'm thinking is that's a great thing for friends to do. You could invite these other two and have even more friends.
Have
Why
an
not?
Organizing party.
Yeah. So, So I would say that ours is not a phone up every day kind of friendship. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I don't think I've ever been in your house.
That may be true.
I've never socialized with you and your family except at some
work
picnic
events.
Or party yeah. or something for Catered or DMA yeah. or something yeah. like that. And so it's mostly you and me,
yeah.
but we go to things like speakers of the church
and
concerts. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, stuff like that. So I would say ours is more of a co-worker friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's
yeah.
that slash, you know, casual but steady friends.
Yeah.
Like you're a regular presence in my life.
Yeah.
When you're not around, I notice that you're not around.
And you know? And I see you at least a yeah. couple times a month.
Yeah.
Although most of the time it's not phoning up separate like it is with Marilee. I phone her separately.
Right.
But I see you in passing when I'm coming
here.
To do the show.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
we get our times to chat and I brought a bag full of stuff so I can show you what I'm doing this tape with my art. Yeah. Yeah. So
friendship comes in many different forms.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And I would like to introduce you three to another friend that you've all probably met. this lovely, large stuffed animal.
You name, can't see it.
His name's Sumbunny. And Sumbunny is a critter in our house. We have lots of critters in the house that my husband and I use as a surrogate. So, you know, instead of my telling him what to do or him telling me what to do, he'll say, oh, somebody just fell on the floor. I'm supposed to get down on the floor twice a day as a health thing because, you know, you want to be able to get down and get back up. So he'll just throw the bunny on the floor. You know? Or I'll throw the bunny in his path or something like that. And, yeah, it's a friendship with my husband, mm-hmm. but using a stuffed animal surrogate as the speaker. So this is the strong but silent type. So if any of you want to see what somebody looks like, go to my Facebook page and look at my photos and you'll find a picture of the bunny. Yeah. What do you want to talk about? Who wants to talk? What do you want to talk about? Okay, Autumn.
I'll always talk.
That's another thing we have in common.
I know. Well, I actually thought about this week. I love the saying, and I don't know who said it, that friends are the family we choose.
Yeah.
And that's had a lot of meaning in mm-hmm. in my life. I don't have a lot of actual blood family besides my own family that I've raised, but I'm blessed with an abundance of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said friends come in all different sizes. There's communities. Leanne and I, for example, attend the same church. I wouldn't say we know each other well, but we're friendly. We hug when we see each other at church. And Marilee and I have met a couple of times, probably through you mm-hmm. over the years or through DMA here. But I'm thinking about the friendships that participation in church have brought, or Seroptimist. I'm a member of Seroptimist mm-hmm. International, or my artist circles and the friends that I met when our kids were all very little in school mm-hmm. and we're still connected,
mm-hmm.
you know? So there's a lot of different ways, work friends, there's a lot of different ways in which we connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to hear you kind of describe the type of friendship that you have with each of the three of us sitting here
mm-hmm.
Because it's different in every case and
but it's all friends
yeah and you extrapolate yeah. out from there and there's you know just all kinds of friendships
mm-hmm.
I'm friends with my next door neighbor, you know, she's a lovely woman but I don't know her mm-hmm. well, but we're very friendly, so
right
so maybe everyone could kind of think about how that plays out in their lives, especially that I love the circles of friends concept,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I've never used the word acquaintances to to mean the same thing. I know some people do. Some people would say, I have acquaintances and then I have friends. But to me, they're all friends, just at different
degrees,
distances or times.
Yeah. This, one of the things that I was thinking about in preparation for today, as it were, is the changing of friendships, too, throughout our lives. And one of the things that resonates with me so much are the friends, and I have, I think, only two of them now who would refer to my parents by their names. Well, Marshall did that, or Ethel did that. But even friends I've had for over 50 years do not know, did not meet my parents, for instance. Mm-hmm. So there's that long-term, I'm not in their lives much at all, but we value each other for that shared history. Mm-hmm. And then...
Do you keep in touch with them?
No.
No?
Not much at all. And that's another thing I was thinking about I worked for 13 years in one school, and I don't keep in touch with anybody at that school. And it was only in Sacramento. My interests are sufficiently different, because then it was school and lesson plans and goodness knows what all. But when I left that, I did. I left it. Though if one of them were to walk in right now, I would be thrilled. And as you said about, you would just hug them. They were just, there would
so
be...
So good to see you again.
Yeah, there's an electricity there.
Yeah.
That's really... exciting and valuable. And then sometimes it's sad that you have a friend that you just are around so much that you kind of take them for granted, and then something will happen and you're like,
and they're gone.
I wish I hadn't done XYZ, or I wish I had done something else. But and then the joy of friendships, of watching, I'm enjoying watching our great-grandson, who has certain friends when he was in the first grade, and he maintained some of those in the second grade, but some are not so close now because they're not in the same classroom. So it's not held together as much as what they had in common the year before.
Yeah.
So
I remember that my mom... and I say my mom, my parents, but mom, the female was always the communicator in our society at that time. So my mom would always send newsletters every year, and that's how she kept in touch with a whole lot of people. I mean, Christmas cards and newsletters and things like that. And so I would say she probably had more ongoing, continuing friends than I do. I have people who, if they walked in the door, we would immediately take up our friendship right then and there. But if they weren't in the room, I wouldn't be telling you, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so is my friend, because I haven't seen him for 20 years. Whereas for Mom, there are a lot of people she hadn't seen for 20 years, but she had 20 years' worth of correspondence with them. And so that kind of a connection, I think, is something that's different. Do either of you send newsletters and Christmas cards and stuff like that? None of it. We're all shaking our head. Except Autumn says, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
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 That was a generational thing, I think, has largely faded away.
Well, I think this is the first generation it faded from.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Mom had correspondence that her grandmother had written. Mm-hmm. Her grandmother. Yeah. Not a lot. Most of it got discarded, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, like, connections that come and go, because, like, I'm thinking about people that I worked with, and maybe there's one I try to keep in touch with, like, her birthday's coming up soon, and I'm definitely going to call her and say, let's go to lunch. And we're hoping to get back to working together, but it hasn't happened yet. Another friend from work, when we were working, we had this like movie club, and then didn't see her for a long time, and now just in the last few months we've started going to movies together again. So they kind of come and go. I won't see somebody for a while, and then we'll start doing mm-hmm. things together, and then at some point we won't for a while. So there's that flux.
And they're all friends.
And they're still friends, yeah.
Yeah.
Even, you know, maybe months go by and we don't see each other, and then we start doing things.
Do any of you have you ever had a situation where you have decided to become friends with someone? I mean, consciously made a decision, like, either I need a new friend, so I'll go meet somebody, or that person looks like they could use a friend, so I'll be it, or something like that? Some conscious choice? Or have we just all fallen into friendships by accident?
I think a lot of my friendships, the enduring ones, have been situational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have friends, people I've been friends with since high school or since college. There was something that brought us together. I have a lot of friends who we became friends when our children were very young, and we would mm-hmm. set up times to get together and do things with them. I haven't experienced what you just asked, but I've had people tell me, I decided I wanted to be friends with you. And so, you know, after they had sort of approached me and we got to know each other, you know, it's like I decided I really wanted to get to know you and I wanted to be friends with you.
Hmm.
And it's very flattering. Mm-hmm. And I think there can be that intentionality from my perspective. It's, I don't know, I seem to fall into friendships.
Right, right.
You know, I interact with a lot of people on any given day, and mm-hmm. there's always
there's
a lot
opportunity.
Of, there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Leanne?
I don't know. I sometimes think, oh, that person looks interesting. But in terms of actual friendships, they tend to be, for me, more people that I'm doing things with, like my dance groups, my mahjong group,
mm-hmm.
You know, different things that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like Autumn was saying, it's situational. You know, you meet people in a particular context, and mm-hmm. then a friendship develops out of that. Mm-hmm. That's usually how it works for me.
Sometimes, well, once I can think of, I was so impressed with a person, and then found out, it's Donna Billick, and then found out that she has, she was having an open studio. This was when I was going up to see my mom in Woodland, and it was really tough. It was a very hard set of years for me, and I had no creativity, and I was just sort of... And Donna said, come on out. Well, actually, Donna didn't say it. Somebody else said, you know, you could come to Donna's because we were making stepping stones for the park at West Davis Pond, and you could come and do that. And so because it was Donna, I got up the oomph to actually go out there. I knew her. I knew of her. I had met her. She wasn't a friend. She wasn't a buddy. But she was inspiring. And so I went to this thing. And it was a lifesaver. It was wonderful. It really helped me get through some tough times because you could just go out to her place. Everything was there. You didn't have to bring anything or do anything. You just showed up. And there's all these beautiful bits, and you could just like make patterns, and you know, and just it was mosaic, so it was really nice. And then I got to know some of the folks out there and became friends with Donna. So that's not quite the same as what I was thinking of, but it was one of those things where I probably would not have become a friend if it hadn't been. I went to an activity because I knew that she was a nice person. That? Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you, and it's yeah. about your Creative Women's Circle.
Oh, yeah.
So were they friends
no.
who decided to get together, or oh. have you become friends as a result of being in that group together?
So the Creative Women's Circle is a club here in the area, mostly Davis, some Woodland, of people who wanted to encourage each other to do creative things. When it got started, and I was not one of the starters, it was a group. There were some people who knew each other, and then they advertised in the newspaper, described the club, and got together and started it that way. And I heard about it. I read about it in the newspaper, and then I went to one of the meetings and met people, and later on they became friends of mine. but it was an activity, just like you said, making an activity related thing. Yeah.
I would like to respond to the question before. Mm-hmm. I did intentionally want to make a friend, not as an adult, but as a third grader. We moved from Los Gatos to Berkeley, and there I was starting school without a single friend. Mm. And I was fat, and people teased me, and I felt just lonely as lonely could be. Mm. And so I would ask somebody, where do you live? I figured I needed a friend close by so I could get there on my own. Mm-hmm. And so about the fourth person lived on my street.
Oh, neat.
And just up the street, across the street and up. And so we did the exchange of names and what have you. And we were good friends for many years, and she's the one of the two that still, you know, refers to my folks, because her mother and my mother then became very fast friends. Mm-hmm. So that worked out, and she had two younger siblings, and I liked David a lot too. He was 2 years younger. He was the same age as my sister, and it was just really nice. Now, along with that, in that same year when I was in the third grade, I invited some other people, twins, George and Norma, and they were at my house. And we lived on the Alameda, and we lived on the flats. And across the street were the professional people, the people on the hill. And so our driveway was a very steep angle going from the sidewalk downward to the garage, so it was not an easy place to play kickball on, which is what we were doing. And after they left, my brother, who is 6.5 years older than I, took me aside and said, Marilee, if you treat people the way you treated your friends today, you will have no friends.
What had you done?
I'm bossy. Oh, I would just tell him what to do, where to stand, blah, 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 blah. And so I was 8 years old when that happened. And so I have deliberately tried to be a friend.
Can't stop being bossy, though. I mean,
I've tempered it, Lois.
What I mean is bossy is a negative term for knowing what you want, and you can adjust how you make the world know what you want. So it's requesting rather than commanding.
Right.
But still, I mean, I have also got a problem in.
You can resonate with that.
Yeah, especially if we're doing a project or something. Like when I was doing the television shows, and we had a repertoire company that did the lighting and the sound and the cameras, and sometime we're on air, and we all decided what was going to be on the show and stuff like that. And it was great. It was a great team effort. But I got to tell you, when it came time for the show, I was a director. And that was, you know, that was the way it worked.
Yes.
and they're my friends.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed to go okay, because it wasn't like that when I wasn't at the show.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, I watched my daughter do that, and I was writhing in my seat. She was directing a play.
Uh-huh.
And she'd say, go here and do that, and without a please or a thank you or anything.
Well,
That's what a director does. And but she is very capable, and people like her, and she's bossy in that way. But I want to say one more thing about my brother telling me that. Mm-hmm. What a boon. He didn't say it at the dinner table. He didn't put me down. He just took me aside and gave me his opinion.
And were you able to interact with the twins successfully?
Yeah.
From after that?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Right. Yeah. George and I were very competitive.
George is your brother, or George is
the
twin?
One of the twins.
Yeah.
Norma was very easygoing. She wouldn't challenge anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But George and I, we're very competitive.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that I've found, so I don't know if my listeners know this, but I only have one brother, and he died last August. And he wasn't old enough to die, but he did anyway, from disease. So that means I don't have any parents, any grandparents. My only brother's gone. I have a husband. We don't have any kids. A few stuffed animals, but they don't really count. And so I'm realizing that there's not a lot of people that I am friends with outside of shared activity kinds of things. And since I'm retired now, and even when I had clients, it was one-on-one clients. So there's not a lot of people who simply, you know, drop by or you know, come to dinner or whatever. So I'm trying to make, and for the past couple of years, been trying to make a real effort to invite people over to, you know, try and get closer friends. And it's hard. It's hard. I don't know if you guys, I know you're all in different situations because you've all got, Autumn and Marilee both have families, yeah. And families living with them or coming by or, you know, always interacting.
Yeah, it's a very different dynamic. I mean, yeah. It's really rare that I have time alone.
Yeah.
So that has become the thing that I most crave. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we're not about to empty nest because our son is going to go to college locally and mm-hmm. stay with us for a while still. But the dynamic in the family is already changing. And I am aware mm-hmm. that it becomes very important to keep up those activities I mentioned earlier.
Right.
To keep myself, you know, connected. Mm-hmm. And I think doing that kind of brings a vibrancy into one's life. Mm-hmm. I wanted to jump back, though, to the bossy thing, mm-hmm. because just the other day, my husband was saying about one of our daughters, she's so bossy. And I looked at him and said, she's not bossy. She has leadership skills.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How about the word assertive?
That's an even different one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
To which he replied, I still want to buy her a pair of pants that says bossy pants on the back of them.
Well, that's because you like puns.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm in terms of, I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, I am involved. I never had kids. I lived by myself for a long time. Now, for the past about 4 years or so, I have a partner who lives with me. And yet, I'm, you know, haven't cut back on some of my other activities, and so there's that trying to find that balance too, because mm-hmm. a lot of my social life is outside of the house, and then
not necessarily with him.
Yeah. So we're trying to work out, you know, how we can be together, because when I lived by myself, I'd be totally social outside, and then home was kind of my refuge, the place I mm-hmm. really could be by myself and recoup my energies as an introvert.
Mm-hmm. And pet your kitten.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And so now it's, you know, we're having to really work at how he and I can be friends at home or doing things. We're sometimes finding that the only way we can really do things together is to go away together.
Mm-hmm.
It's so
mm-hmm.
hard to do it at home because there's so much going on.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So that's another friendship I'm working at nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm doing so many things outside of the house, too, that I love. So it's yeah. trying to find that balance.
Are you finding that since you're not living alone anymore that you wish you were? I don't mean yeah. you wish you were, but I mean, do you wish you had more a solitude occasionally?
Yeah, sometimes I do. And he and I are learning that, like, if I say, okay, I just really need some quiet time by myself now,
mm-hmm.
he likes to interact a lot all the time. So we're trying to work that out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how can we kind of meet halfway? And, like, so he's not feeling neglected, but I'm not feeling, like, bombarded.
Does he have lots of outside activities as well?
He doesn't, and he's working. He's really making an effort. When you talked about actually trying to make friends with people, mm-hmm. he is trying to do that, and he mm-hmm. is starting to get to know people. But he, you know, I've been in Davis for 50-some years, and he's been in Davis for 5 or 6 years, so.
Right.
He's
right.
But he is going out and getting to know people, and mm-hmm. so he's doing that, and I'm trying to, like, not be so busy with so many other things that I can be home with him more,
right.
doing things more in the house. So,
yeah.
you know, when we think about friendship, it's a different kind of relationship than he and I have, but we do want to be friends as well.
Right.
So,
well, Jim yeah. is my best friend, yeah. right? My husband, Jim.
So we're trying to work on that.
Yeah. We have a sort of an interesting thing, because he is not at all social. I mean, he's about as introverted as I can imagine getting. Not that he's antisocial. He's just not. He's not the kind of person who would walk up to somebody on the street and say, "Hello, how are you?" And I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but. And he does a lot of reading. He's retired now, and he's a physicist. So he's as he says, he's studying physics so that eventually he will learn as much as he thought he knew when he was in college. Yeah, but I don't have any problem with having alone time, because he goes for a walk for an hour every day, and he takes a nap every afternoon. And so, I mean, I barely see the man. In fact, in addition to Bunny, who is one of our good topics of conversation, we also have made some little rituals. He eats totally differently than I do, and so generally we don't have meals together. But we said, okay, and a few years ago we decided to do this. We'll have breakfast together every morning. So every morning I get up early, because I'm like 4 or 5 a.m., and I'm off doing stuff and art or whatever. He'll get up and stumble into his room and sit in front of the computer for, half an hour, and read the newspapers and stuff like that and do his thing. Then he'll go take a shower, and then he comes out and says, "Good morning." And then we go and we have breakfast, and he always has the exact same thing. Well, that's not true. Almost every day he has the exact same thing. And we sit, and first we go through what's the weather going to be like. And then we go through what's our calendar like for the next few days. And then if he's found any good comics, he will have them all prepared. And he'll hand me this this thing with comics on it, because he likes to share that sort of stuff. And then after breakfast, we'll play a couple of games of AC Doocy and chat for a little bit. And then he'll go off and do his thing, and I'll go off and do my day. But we have that time together. And then, of course, now that he can read things on his iPad, we can both be sitting in the living room on our chairs side by side, reading and whatever, throwing Bunny on the floor, whatever.
And weren't you friends for a long time before you married?
Well, actually, I knew him when he got back from Vietnam, and I was at the end of my freshman year in college, and we got engaged in 1969 for one day. Well, no, we got engaged, and then I panicked and I backed out of it. And then we went off. We did a whole bunch of different things, including my getting married, and that lasted for about a year. And then back in the 90s, no, in the 80s, oh gosh, we've been on and off doing things together, you know, either roommates or boyfriend, girlfriend, or living across town, or just buddies, or almost everything. And then finally in 96, Jim had, his mom passed on, and his Aunt Fran had left enough money for each of the two sons to get an inheritance, and he had enough money for down payment in a house. And he was back in D.C. working at that time, and he said, "So will you and the kittens live in the house until I can move back out there?" And I said, "Sure." And so we found a house. We bought a house, and so I moved into his house. And a couple of years later, he was back living there, and I said, "Well, your folks are gone, and so they can't see us get married, but my folks are still around, so should we get married?" Now, that's my version. His version is, in 1969, he asked me to marry him. In 1996, I finally did it. But yeah, so we have had a long and varied relationship for many, 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 many years. So either this is our 25th. Anyway, either it's in the 20s or this is our 50th anniversary of being engaged. Uh-huh. One of the two. We should have a party, shouldn't we?
It's always anyway. Worth celebrating.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that, you know, I really should write up and make a book about it. Nobody would believe all of the interconnections. Do you want to tell them or should we not?
Go for it.
Okay, Leanne and I, well, Leanne is my co-ex-wife-in-law.
So when Lois mentioned that when she broke off the engagement with Jim, she said, and then I got married.
Yeah.
Well, that particular person.
That I got divorced with. 5 months later, we filed for divorce, and a year later, it was over. And in the meantime,
I married him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's how I met Lois, through our mutual ex-husband.
Well, actually,
he wasn't my ex at the time. But
while I was still married to him, he was working in a department where she was. So they became friends when he was safely married.
Yeah.
And so she could afford to become friends with him. And then after he was divorced, well, then it was dangerous.
Yes.
Anyway.
So I don't know why I ended up marrying him.
It lasted a long time.
It lasted just long enough for me to qualify for Medicare under his Social Security, because I had the option when I was working at the university of not paying into Social Security. So I never had any credit. So I would not have been able to get Medicare but for the fact that I had managed to stay married to him for just over 10 years, which was, I hadn't planned it that way, but anyway. That was one of the benefits.
Okay, and I've heard you mention your co-ex-wife-in-law. Now I know the story.
Yeah.
I never heard a name attached to it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, so I was married, and his mother, my mother-in-law, dear friend of mine, and when I got divorced, you divorce the husband, you don't divorce the others. So she remained my mother-in-law, even though I was no longer married to her son. And so when you get married to someone, whoever, whatever the relationship is, then you become that relationship in-law. So brother-in-law, mother-in-law, son-in-law, ex-wife-in-law. So I am Leanne's ex-wife-in-law because she married him after I did. But now that she's divorced him, we have declared that we are co-ex-wife-in-law. Yeah.
Ex-wife-in-law or something.
Yeah. And his mom, his mother-in-law, it got too complicated to explain to people how she could be my mother-in-law when I wasn't married. Okay. And so we finally said, look, let's just do aunt. So she was Aunt Allie. And she says, it has to be reciprocal. So you're Aunt Lois. So I was her Aunt Lois, and she was my Aunt Allie. We like making... Yeah.
There's a through theme here, though, that both you and Leanne have raised, and that's the importance of friendship and committed relationships. Mm-hmm. And people will ask me how long Craig and I have been married or how long we've been together, and I say, well, it's a complicated story, and I tell them 40, 30, 24, and they look at me like, what?
This is a strange shape.
Yes. We actually met, we were 13 years old, and we met in freshman English class, and where he threw balls of paper at the back of my head for 6 months, and just annoyed the stuffing out of me. I couldn't stand him. We gradually got to be friends, so we've been friends since we were 13. I'll be 53 this year, so that's the 40. We were friends for 10 years until we started dating, so that's the 30. Mm-hmm. And then we dated for 6 years, and we never rushed into anything. We dated for 6 years until we got married 24 years ago. So
he's been your own only sweetie.
No. Oh. We were friends for 10 years. We didn't start dating until we were until I was almost 24.
I got Okay.
Yeah. No, we helped each other through some bad relationships, and you know, he was the person I'd always talk to about it. But we've been friends for that entire time, and we're still friends, and you know,
and more.
And more.
Yeah, co-parents.
Yeah, but it was a great basis for a lasting relationship, you know, to know that. And in times when, you know, everybody goes through rocky times, it was really helpful to remember what I liked about him.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It was a very powerful thing.
Yeah, yeah. And he knows the names of your parents.
My parents loved him.
Yeah. Who's not to love? Yeah.
Well, this very day is Jim's and my wedding anniversary.
Really?
Of 59 years.
Wow.
And just a few months ago, our granddaughter said, "Grandpa, what's it like to be married for such a long time?" And he said, "Ashley, the first 58 years are the hardest."
Oh. Yeah, he's got a sense of humor, too.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Crack it up.
So
yeah.
Were you friends before you got married, or was it a quick courtship? Or
no, we knew each other for 14 months before we got married.
That's quick.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We met in the beginning of our sophomore years at Chico State, and then got married after our junior years. In Berkeley. He had transferred to UC Berkeley, and I had transferred to San Francisco State. Mm-hmm. And so luckily we were able to finish school and do all the things we wanted to do. And we didn't have Miriam until we'd been married almost 6 years. Mm-hmm. So that gave us a little chance to grow up before.
So were you together when he was he doing... I know he's a doctor.
Yeah.
So was he doing extra, more stuff after you got together?
More
schooling?
No, when we got together, he was a mathematician.
Well, how did he become a doctor?
We'd been married 18 years, and we moved to Davis for him to go to med school.
Wow, I never knew that.
He was 39, and I think they let him in because the Bakke case was in litigation. It hadn't been determined yet, but yeah, he was 39, and so our children were 10 and 12 when we moved to Davis.
Wow.
That must have been tough, because medical schools takes an awful lot of work.
Right.
An awful lot of time.
Right. Yeah.
So that means you were basically a single mom for a while.
And then I was teaching.
Uh-huh.
And that was wonderful. When we moved here, I became the director of the nursery school in Dixon, the parent participating nursery school.
Uh-huh.
And that, to me, is some of the best education going.
Great.
You're involved with the kids and the parents, and you can all grow together. It was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. I had served out in Palo Alto at Palo Alto Friends Nursery School, which is how I got connected with Quakers. And so that went well. And then... But I only worked outside the home half day, you see, so that I would be there for the kids. And until Brian was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later, then I worked full-time. I went back to public school teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And another lovely thing is his mother, whom I really loved, took me aside and she said, "Is it okay with you that Jim is wanting to go to medical school? Because he won't be earning any money." And I said, it was fine with me. We had come to that decision together. Mm-hmm. And it took us several years, if you want to know the truth. Probably could have started a few years earlier if I hadn't.
But it was good of her to recognize the situation.
Yeah. She took up my side, so that was one of the lovely things.
Yeah. You are listening to That's Life. My name is Lois Richter. I'm your host today, and today I have with me three of my friends, Leanne Friedman, Marilee Eusebio, and Autumn LaVey-Renault. And we are talking about, friendship. So we don't have a whole lot of time left. So let's talk about what kinds of things do you like or dislike when people talk about friendship? Like, to me, when someone starts ranking or rating their friends, oh, this is my best friend, this is my second best friend, this is, you know, that's it, this is sort of a friend. I just, it rubs me wrong, and I don't know how in the world they could do it. So I was just wondering if any of you had thoughts on that, you know, best friend and second best friend and stuff like that. Or if you want to talk about something else, that's fine too.
I have a lot of best friends is what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people that I would describe as best friends, meaning that they're closest, they're the people that, you know, you can show up, or they can show up at your door and you're in your pajamas and you look like heck and
it doesn't matter.
You let them in anyway.
Yeah.
Or you can rant at them by text at 11 o'clock at night because you know they're a night owl too, and they'll... Mm-hmm. They'll be there for you, you know? I think it's the people who show up. Long ago, I told my kids, one of my kids asked me, who's your best friend? And I said, you know, it's a hard question. What I'm going to tell you is that you're surrounded by a lot of aunties. So you have a mm-hmm. lot of aunties in your life. Mm-hmm. These are the women I'm close to. These are the women who show up, and I show up for them. And that's kind of where we left it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them, and I feel really lucky for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like my kids are lucky because of that.
Yeah.
I have sort of dealt with that, and it's very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
Especially when I've been introduced as my best friend. This is my best friend. Now, does that mean I have to reciprocate?
You might be their best friend because they only have three.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So it's been a challenge sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think in terms of best friend because I have different friends in different contexts.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when I'll use the dance class as an example. I love those women when we're together dancing,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think of them as, you know, best friends in terms of doing things outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's, you know, if it's dance related, we go to things together. But so maybe I compartmentalize a little, and like I have my dance friends and my these friends and mm-hmm, that friends
mm-hmm.
and I don't see any hierarchy there. It's all just groups of people that I love to be with for different reasons.
I think that speaks to my condition. The thing I would probably say I would maybe qualify them as, you know, work friends or people I do projects or committees with, but we don't socialize outside, and friends that we socialize a lot outside, or friends that I don't see very often, but if I do see them, they're very dear to me. And I guess the only way I would say I would call somebody a best friend is, you know, if I had a cat and my cat got hurt and I needed to get to the vet, anybody that I could call and know absolutely that they would be there for me, they would, if they couldn't come, they'd figure out a way to make it done. That's a best friend, you know? And that's Jim. Yeah, that's my husband.
Remember at the top of the show I said friends are the family we choose?